141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as League Cup quarter-final weekend arrives. Russell Martin defends the Loch Lomond dip, says he can't control fan protests and brings back Nico Raskin into the squad. Brendan Rodgers hits out at former Rangers staff for criticising Russell Martin when doing a job that they couldn't do themselves. And we'll have one semi-finalist by the end of the night with Kilmarnock welcoming St Mirren. Joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, if Nico Raskin was a pain in the neck yesterday, he's still a pain in the neck today, but he's a pain in the neck that Russell Martin needs tomorrow, because he could be the difference between victory and defeat when Rangers play Hibs in what we'll term the must-win match. And just when Russell Martin needed a friendly voice, where did it come from? The Celtic manager. How about that, Scott?
Yeah, interesting words from Brendan Rodgers, but listen, I think for Rangers and Russell Martin, this is a huge game. How will look with this Hibs team coming? Listen, I think Hibs, obviously, we've seen away from home, especially in Europe, how much of a threat they did carry, but it's a must win for Russell Martin. What will the stadium look like? What type of capacity will they have? Will them maybe not having such a big crowd ease the anxiety levels? Let's wait and see.
0141 951 1025. Come on down. Your Friday night has all been building up to this huge weekend in the League Cup, with all the big stories along the way that we've covered in the last few days. It was always going to be interesting to hear what was next from Russell Martin, what was next from Brendan Rodgers. We got our answers today. So what do you make of it? Russell Martin, as you may be expected, saying that the dip in Loch Lomond, the climb up Connacht Hill, it was just planned, one of these things that people only care about because they're not winning games. Do you agree with that? Is that your take on it as well? He says that the anxiety around the players, he's working on trying to fix that. He's seeing the opportunity to put things right against Hibs. And perhaps the biggest story of all surrounding Rangers this weekend, these fan protests. He says he can't control it. These people don't know him personally. He doesn't know them personally. And he's just going to focus on the job on the pitch, which, as Hugh alluded to, may well be helped by the return of Nico Raskin. So Rangers fans, there's generally a lot on your mind at the moment. Which bit of that is on your mind tonight? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. Brendan Rodgers, as we alluded to in the headlines, hitting out at former Rangers staff for criticising Russell Martin when they themselves couldn't do the job. Maybe a bit cryptic. I mean, I think you might know the former Rangers coaches who are out and about in the media, but I don't really know specifically who he was talking about. No. I don't know specifically which bit of it he was on about. But if you've got any thoughts on that, please do feel free. Perhaps more specifically, Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers very clear in his tone today. You could tell determined to make this about the football and the fact Celtic are winning games. So how does that work then? How does it all work at the moment where you're trying to see change, you're trying to make sure the board knows your frustrations, but the manager is wanting to focus on football? Can you do both at once? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. And if you're on your way to the game tonight, we'd love to hear from you. St Mirren fans heading down to Kilmarnock, Kelly fans making the shorter trip, what are you thinking? Who's going to make it through to the semi-final? Who's going to be the first name in the hat for the games at Hampden? Generally not loads between these sides. Clearly St Mirren with good league record in recent times. Stuart Kettlewell trying to get to Hampden again. So give us all your thoughts there, please. Plenty to look forward to at the weekend. Partick Thistle fans, can you cause a shock against Celtic? Motherwell heading up to Aberdeen. What more could you want from a Friday night?
Well, Stuart Kettlewell would have got a night's sleep last night because there's no VAR at tonight's game. So there'll be no penalties that keep him awake at night. It would be a terrific match, that, and either side would dearly love to be in the last four. But to go back to Russell Martin, to be perfectly honest, what do you take from that, Gordon? Or what I take from today's press conference, he thinks he's better at press conferences than he really is. And to say no one would have bothered about Loch Lomond and Connacht Hill if Rangers had won, well, that's precisely the point. They're not winning games. Don't bring it up like that. So I think he thinks he's cleverer than he really is.
Where are you this weekend? Who have you Bride got? Have we missed that out? We've covered everything else.
Yes,
in the headlines.
We are at home to Dumbarton tomorrow.
Sons of the Rock will take you. No problem.
Okay, Hugh, if you look at any of your previous predictions,
that's true. For a treat. Are you sticking by Rangers this weekend? Because I actually for the first time ever, I'm actually going to back you. You've been so bad.
Yeah.
You kind of need to tip Rangers every week because presumably they win at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like if you pick the same lottery numbers, you don't want to change in case they eventually come up.
I think Raskin is there because Russell Martin knows that he is in the last chance saloon. Andrew Kavanagh is here from San Francisco. And at 4:30 tomorrow, Andrew Kavanagh will turn to the man next to him and say, "What's all that noise outside the stadium?" Well, Mr. Kavanagh, that's the fans protesting about the manager and the chief executive and the director of football. So it's a huge afternoon for, or evening as it is, for Russell Martin and Raskin. He may have no time for him as a person, but he needs him tomorrow and he will make the difference.
Let's dive in with Gus, who's on the line first. How are you, Gus? Hello, Gus. Can you hear us? Oh, it's a bad start. Yeah. Oh, well, good. I think we've got you now, Gus. Take it away.
Basically, it's just a comment that the Rangers coach, if you call my coach, manager said about the stress and anxiety his players are going through. Now, I don't know. I may be wrong. I didn't know he was a qualified psychiatrist. And basically, to me, he's thrown them under the bus once again, putting pressure on them, saying they've got psychological problems. I just don't think he should be saying that in his tenure where he is at the moment.
I think we can overstate these things, Hugh. I don't think he's labelling them with psychological problems. Now, I know what Gus is, you know, we're kind of playing fast and loose with the term. And again, you know, anxiety, I know people suffer from anxiety. I think there's a difference when a football manager says he thinks his players feel a bit anxious. And also, that's the harsh reality of being a head coach or a manager. You do need to play sports psychologist a bit, unfortunately.
I have to contradict Gus straight away because fans do it all the time. The shirt is too heavy for him or him or him. That's amateur psychology. So the fans say the shirt's too heavy. The manager thinks he detects anxiety during matches. I mean, there's no getting away from it. He did say they're better Thursday and Friday in training than they are Saturdays at matches. So it is a common thread. Players do find it difficult on occasion at Celtic and Rangers. Some don't fit the jersey. And the Rangers fans themselves are quantifying at the moment how many fit their jersey and how many do not.
It's just like every element of life, I suppose, Scott, but football is a bit more, it's a bit more open season for all of us to speculate and judge what we think is going on. And players' mentality, psychology, it all comes into it. And it is fair game up to a point. I also kind of get where Gus is saying you should never go too far and put labels on things that maybe aren't there. But I think we all, even if we didn't understand it, I think we all at least got what Russell Martin meant. Ultimately, it's that one that Hugh says, the occasion's getting to them, if that's the way you want to put it.
Yeah, I think in terms of the performance, you can see it, whether it's a loose pass, players making wrong decisions, that all alludes to the anxiety I think he's talking about. But for me, at the same time, I think the way they're set up also adds to the anxiety. So between performance, individual players making bad decisions, and the way Rangers are set up at the moment, I think that all leads for fans to feel that anxiety and makes them, you can feel it in the crowd when you're a player as well. You can tell when someone gives the ball, you hear the groans, it grows and it grows and it grows, and then bad decisions, not just one, it then leads to 2, 3, 4, and that's where Rangers are at the moment. It's how Russell Martin fixes that. Will he do it against Hibs? For me, I still think it's a really, really tough game. But that press conference
I was going to ask Gus. I think, Gus, you showed your hand a bit there. You said, I mean, the coach, if you can call him a coach, I take it that sums up the way you feel about the job that's being done at the moment.
Basically, I don't think at this part of the season, in his position, you should put any negativity out. All right, you might think it, but don't add negativity to what everybody's already realising.
Again, I have to go back to the fans. What kind of positivity are they showing when last weekend the chanting throughout the game, one, for a player who wasn't on the park, two, the chanting against the manager, which was toxic, and even Derek McInnes, a vastly experienced man and a former Rangers player, even he said he found it uncomfortable being there.
Is that not understood? Again, Gus, if he was on trying to put a positive spin on last week, you wouldn't have liked that either. Like I said, are we just at the stage where basically because of the way you feel about Russell Martin, he's probably never going to say the right thing, is he?
Well, he's had plenty of opportunity to say the right thing, and he's never done it yet. He just seems to be wanting to throw him under the bus. Why doesn't he say positive things about the team?
What is the positives in the team, Gus, for you?
None.
Well, how can he give you positives if there are none?
I'm talking about Russell Martin, I'm not talking about the players.
Let's hear a bit from Russell Martin. Who knew we'd get a week-long debate out of Loch Lomond, eh? Honestly, Scottish football never disappoints. But he says it was planned already and was helpful to take the players away from football and from the Glasgow intensity for the day.
It's always been the plan, it's just been timing to do it. So I think this city's so intense, the club's so intense. I think to step away from it sometimes is a good thing. Lads can take a breath, actually spend some time together where they're not just playing football and being worked. And so I think it was good. I really enjoyed it. I think if we did it when we're winning, no one says a word and you can be perceived either way. I've done it every club we've been at, with various things, not always the sea or the lock because you're not close enough. But I just think it's good for the lads. There was a lightness to them. They spent a lot of time together. We had a long walk. They had a little dip. We didn't swim in there. Well, a few did. A few enjoyed it a lot and spent a lot of time in there. But the rest, I said to him, it's just about you have to take a breath in there, otherwise it's going to really hurt. And we're going to experience a bit of pain together, which we have done. And then we'll get through it. And the potential for growth in the group and getting through this period is so big. So I think it was good. I enjoyed it. I'd been ill all last week, so the first walk I've done, I'm still sore now. But I think the lads really enjoyed it. And it was good. I enjoyed it.
This is a profoundly cynical city, as you may have noticed.
And you are the president of it.
Yeah. And I think Russell Martin should have said, listen, if I take the lads down to Loch Lomond, how will that play with the fans? Nah, I wouldn't bother. But, you know, we'll find out tomorrow. Yeah. If he thinks it was character building or it helped with team camaraderie or whatever he thought, Loch Lomond's had the biggest publicity since Oasis played there. And if Rangers win, he gets away with it. If Rangers lose, Loch Lomond will be brought up and used in evidence against them.
Yeah, I think it's just, that's exactly what I expected him to say, Scott, because we all said that we all had a degree of sympathy in this one because players, teams, they do team bonding exercises. Like, it's not the end of the world. However, back to the optics and the phrase about, you know, no one would mention it if we were winning. Everybody out there has now just jumped on it and went, yeah, but you're not winning. That's the issue for people.
Yeah, I think that was blatantly obvious. I think that was the biggest problem with it. Obviously, after the reaction from the fans to the Hearts game, and then on Monday morning you go on X or you hear on the radio that Rangers are down at Loch Lomond, Rangers fans are naturally going to get really frustrated by it. But ultimately, it comes down to what happens tomorrow. Can they win?
Jordan, what's your take on all this?
Evening, gents. Evening, Hugh, Scott, Gordon. Hello. Hope you're all well.
Good.
Yeah, no, Hugh, once again, I actually agree with you. I know it's very few and far between, but Russell Martin strikes again in the press conference. I mean, did he really need to mention his personal issues? And I don't knock that. I hope everything is all right, but I feel like he's coming out trying to make us feel sorry for him now. And it's just excuses on my view. He says the Loch Lomond was planned. Never. I don't know who he's trying to kid with this, but he's just giving us more and more lies every week. And I can't put up with it.
God, you mentioned it was a cynical part of the world. Russell Martin happened to say his young daughter's been in hospital for 3 days, and it just put things into perspective, and he's not been feeling well.
Yep.
He said he had a chest infection. He wanted to sit in the dugout against Hearts because he wasn't feeling well, but everybody was shouting at him at the time, so he couldn't sit down. But Jordan's saying, he's just making excuses. That really is cynical. Now, how can you really comment and disagree? If the man's daughter is not well, surely we just wish her well and we just leave it there.
I do not believe for one moment that he's so cynical that he'd bring his daughter into the conversation in the hope of getting people on his side. He's simply giving you the story of his week. It was a big press conference for him today because Andrew Kavanagh's in town. The biggest game of the season for Russell Martin takes place tomorrow, and he's had Loch Lomond. So it was a big press conference and everyone is hanging on his every word, and Jordan is dissecting and scrutinising every word. I think he had to handle a difficult press conference. He shouldn't have made the remark about if we were winning, nobody would talk about it, because it gives everyone a chance to say, that's precisely the point. You're not winning.
What are you thinking about the protests tomorrow, Jordan?
Oh, well, yeah, protest if you want to protest, but I don't think it will make any difference. But you actually kind of brought up my second point I wanted to make. Andrew Kavanagh's flying in for the game tomorrow. Andrew Kavanagh won't just fly from America for a game against Hibs. I'm sorry. You might fly in for the Old Firm, you might fly in for Europe, but there's something more underlying than this. Now, I think it was Hugh that was on with Alex Ray the other night, and I think Alex Ray let something slip that Rangers are in, or the board are speaking to another manager to come in. Nobody actually really picked up on it, but could Andrew Kavanagh be coming over to let Russell Martin know, well, if this Hibs game goes down and doesn't go the way that he wants it to go, the way we all think it's going to go, we aren't going to win it the way Hibs are playing, the way we're playing. There's your jotters.
Jordan, you might be even more cynical than Hugh, because I'm going to say that I think it was planned for Andrew Kavanagh to come over, but Jordan's going to say he doesn't believe that, which is fine, because I can't necessarily prove that, or I don't want to get my way to try and convince Jordan, but Jordan is not buying any of it. Let's hear from Russell Martin on the protests. He says he's not taking them personally. He respects the opinions of fans. He's even more frustrated than them.
It's a really difficult balance, because it hurts professionally, because we're working so hard to try and give the supporters what they want. It's a team that wins and wins a lot and does it in a certain way. So I'm as frustrated, more frustrated than anyone, because we're the guys ultimately that are in charge of that. And with the results and some of the performances, been really frustrated, really difficult. And then being in here and listening to someone tell me the team doesn't look like it's coached is difficult, because I think the one thing that we've always had with any of our teams is they have a certain way of doing things. Whether you believe in it or you like it or not, they definitely look a certain way, which takes a lot of time on the training pitch. So we'll get there with this team. The fans' protests and stuff I can't control at all, so I don't spend any time. I have to respect it. I have to understand their frustration and their annoyance, but I feel every bit of it as well. But I do think it's an amazing opportunity for us as a team to come through this period and to grow through it and to be so strong from it. And hopefully at that point, then everyone will come together. We just need to win football matches. So the protests and stuff like that, I can't take it personally, because I don't know any of them, and they don't know me, and they don't know how hard we're working. But I think the people inside the building, I feel incredibly well supported. The players, the staff, ownership. And as long as that continues, then it'll be fine.
Get the calls in. You could be up next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are about to be joined by Stephen, who's in Blantyre. How are you, Stephen?
The reason I'm phoning is I'm not that great, mate. I'm not that great. Good evening to you all.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good evening.
But the reason for my call is I'd actually expected Russell Martin and his backroom staff to be... I didn't expect them to still be here. Obviously, the top kiddie flew in last night or late this morning. I expected them to be 45s out and going into the game tomorrow with no protests on a good positive, hopefully, a victory. But this is a poison chalice tomorrow. The build-up to this tomorrow is... It's not looking good. I think it's going to be more toxic than what happened to, obviously, Celtic previously, with the Sharks out, the whole Dubai fiasco. But no, we went to Loch Lomond. I can't get my head around it. We could actually finish a Rangers manager off that's not won a domestic game. I can't fathom that. I don't know if... Has that ever happened? Have we ever had a Rangers manager actually been, obviously, let go without winning anything domestically?
He's won in this competition, yeah. Obviously. He's won in the League Cup, hence getting here, but I take the point that the wins have been few and far between. Hugh, I think the wider picture, you know, Stephen's saying he just expected Russell Martin to lose his job this week. Did you?
I always thought he would get Hibs. You know, I think there's a symbolism about this match, because it's the first trophy of the season. Now, 9 points behind in the league, in the eyes of the Rangers fans, a disaster. The league's a write-off in the eyes of the Rangers fans. But to go out of the cup, I think, would be too much. And Andrew Kavanagh, while he's in town, we'll have to see what he does about it. But this presupposes they do lose the match. I'm not at all certain that Andrew Kavanagh has come here specifically to drop the axe on Russell Martin. He's here because he has to be here periodically. He's just taken over a football club, and he has to be here periodically to see what's happening and take a temperature check. But tomorrow, I couldn't see Russell Martin survive a defeat.
Scott, we were hitting out at amateur psychology earlier. Now, I'm probably going to do the same thing, but just having been at the press conference today, as I quite often am, and listening to the things he says and the way he says them, he doesn't seem like a manager that's on the brink. You know, Stephen's saying he expected him to have lost his job already. He keeps talking about the support he's got, and it feels like he genuinely does. I really do wonder if the Rangers fans and the board are on a completely different page on this.
They very well could be, but at the same time, it could all just be how he approaches these situations when he is under pressure. That's how he fights against it, showing that sort of confidence, because he does come out with certain words where, week in, week out, obviously we've heard a lot of them, where that looks as if it's his wee defensive mechanism. I'm a bit with you. I think all things at play tomorrow, you get the protest, depending what the crowd is. If Rangers were to get beaten and lose in the quarter final to Hibs, how could you possibly survive that in terms of what the reaction would be for the fans? If they are to win, I think the mind's already made up with the majority of Rangers fans that it will just be delaying till the next poor result.
Stephen, you don't believe then that a win tomorrow, cup semi-final, that can be the start of something?
I think it's just the trust and anything that this guy's bringing to the table. It's nothing personal. It's really not. I totally agree with Scott there. I said, you know what, just we win tomorrow, or if we go through to the next stage, it's just putting a plaster over a leak. I don't see it happening.
It might not be personal for you.
I was going to say that. I think for a lot of people it is. Just take a look. And I know social media, I know Twitter or X, whatever it's called, is a completely mad place, and shouldn't necessarily be used as the barometer. But it's definitely personal for a lot of people.
I ignore social media. I go back to Ibrox last Saturday, and I go back to the words of Derek McInnes, who found the whole experience uncomfortable, and he was winning 2-0 at the time. It is deeply personal for the Rangers supporters, those who chant at Russell Martin the way they do. It shades of Pedro Caixinha, you know, a disaster from the outset, and eventually there came the result that just tipped everyone over the edge.
Is it worse than Caixinha at this moment?
On a par, I would say.
I think the level of
personal abuse
toxicity in the stadium is way worse than it got to with Pedro Caixinha, from my memory anyway.
Caixinha was looked upon as some kind of foreign eccentric, but Russell Martin, Scotland international, loan spell at Rangers as a player, and it's deeply personal. I don't know how he's taking it all, but it will rise in intensity if at 7:30 tomorrow night Hibs are in the semi-finals and Rangers aren't.
Thank you to Stephen. What about Kenny in Rutherglen? Hi, Kenny.
Hi, panel.
What are you thinking tonight, Kenny, then? Where's this got to for you?
I was the one that put the banner up outside Ibrox at half-time in the Brews game.
Where are you? I feel like you're some sort of local celebrity. I felt like mildly starstruck by that. I've always wondered who takes the action. So that was the one in the gates, the white banner.
Yes. And it's coming to reality tomorrow. That was 3 weeks ago, and that's exactly what it meant.
Have you been back, Kenny?
Been back, but I'll not be going tomorrow. I've got a ticket for tomorrow, but enough's enough, I think.
So what would you think the crowd would be tomorrow then?
I think it's going to be a low crowd to you. There'll be more people protesting, I would say.
This is the difficulty. What is it? Someone told me 27,000, I think, on the cup ticket scheme or whatever it's called. Sorry, that the Rangers have, but of course that doesn't necessarily mean that you go.
Yeah,
those tickets would be sort of sold and registered, but doesn't necessarily mean that you turn up.
We had a caller the other night who said he would scan his ticket and then not go in.
And then you know, whatever else on top of that. The two ways of looking at it, Hugh, the empty stadium might have a financial impact, although as we said, some people will have paid for their tickets already. It certainly would then send a visual message to Andrew Kavanagh, who's going to be there. Go back to the cynical bit though. If they're so anxious, maybe it's better for the Rangers players that it's a bit quieter.
Absolutely.
Well, their anxiety will kick in at 4:30 because you know the location of the Rangers dressing room.
Yeah.
So it will be coming into that Rangers dressing room loud and
that's
very
a good point.
Clear.
That's on the Edmondson Drive, isn't
you
it?
You hear everything.
Yeah, you remember Steven Gerrard hanging out the window when Rangers won the league. So the Rangers players will be very well aware of what's going on out in the street. So for those who are not used to that kind of thing, haven't yet absorbed the Glasgow culture, their anxiety levels will kick in. Whether a half-empty stadium is productive or counterproductive, we shall see. But it's a very difficult atmosphere for Rangers to negotiate on an evening when they simply must win. Because, as I say, Andrew Kavanagh taking it all in and being advised by Kevin Thirlwell and Patrick Stewart about, and I'm sure that's how he spent today, being brought up to speed by those two gentlemen on what's going on, I just don't see how Andrew Kavanagh could allow it to continue if Rangers go out.
Oh, Kenny, you were at the banner stage a couple of weeks ago. Since then, you haven't scored a goal, picked up a point against Celtic, lost at home to Hearts. The Nicholas Raskin situation has accelerated. There's Loch Lomond, if people want to add that to the list or not. I suspect it might be a bit harsh. So why were you where you were a couple of weeks ago, and why do you think that the Rangers board don't look like they're anywhere near catching up?
Well, I've been following Rangers. I'm nearly 47. I've been following Rangers for nearly 40 years, and that's the first time I've ever done anything like that, any kind of protest. I've seen some bad times, but there's just no going forward with Russell Martin.
It's unique. All of this is unique for me. Now, in your 47 years, you'll have seen Paul Le Guin got 31 games. You'll have seen Caixinha. And Rangers for the last 14 years have been a bit of a basket case. One title under Steven Gerrard, but so much going on, so much so, the club was taken over. You know, it was Scottish owned and now it's American owned. So they are still in a state of flux. We could argue all night whether it helps to get rid of Russell Martin or not, but a purely and simply a casual observation, I don't know that the club can continue if more people are out in the street than are inside the stadium. I don't know if the manager can continue.
So I think for me, just the goals scored, the creativity in the team, it's not there at this moment in time. I think 5 games in, 3 goals scored in Premiership, that's just nowhere near good enough. Rangers are solely relying, when you take that all into account, Russell Martin on the same road as Edmondson Drive, doing his team talk, you turn the music off, the players will hear every single thing being said, so the manager adds an added pressure, there's no getting away from that. If they don't start well in the game, which they haven't in the majority of games this season, the pressure just builds. So for me, I'm looking at the squad. I do think there's quality within the squad. But for me, I think someone else can get in and we'll get tell, more from it than what Russell Martin is. I do.
Tell me this. At 4:30 with a 5:45 kickoff, where are the Rangers players at 4:30?
In the changing room?
Yeah?
Yeah.
To go warm up.
You will hear it.
When would you go out?
For a quarter to, so you'll go out about 10 past five.
So they'll hear it for half an hour.
Yeah, and he will do his team talk. I'm assuming because that's what most managers do. You will do your team talk. You turn the music off and you'll hear everything.
You do wonder if there's any like measures taken to try and limit the effect of that.
It's so close though, Gordon.
Like I say, it was just a. As an aside, I don't know whether can you do a bit of the team talk elsewhere. Probably not, because it's the dressing room.
I think if you upset routine
too much.
Yeah, I think players say, "What's going on here?" Yeah,
maybe I'm making too much of it. They trained at Ibrox this morning, incidentally.
Yeah,
did they?
Yeah, they trained at Ibrox this morning.
Interesting. Well, he's got to try anything.
Yeah.
Because Scott's laid out the statistical record and it's not good enough, and he's got to try something, including bringing back Nico Raskin to get over the hump tomorrow, because he either gets over the hump or the fans take the hump.
Thank you very much to Kenny. Before we move on, let me tell you about this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Right, for a few days only, we're giving you the chance to win £100,000 and it is free to enter. Now, Make Me a Winner Extra is the name of the game. It's here, and this Tuesday, someone will win the £100,000. So why can't it be you? If you've never entered one of the competitions before, this could be the perfect time. Text FREE to 61025. That's FREE, F-R-E-E, to 61025. And you guessed it, entry is free, but the standard network charges may apply for the cost of the message. Or you can enter for free at winhappy.com. Over 18s, all the rules for this Rail Network competition are online, and the lines close 5pm Tuesday, when Gemma Atkinson will make the call. You just answer your phone as well. The £100,000 would be yours straight into your bank account after the call, and it's a guaranteed winner, which means someone will win the lot. It might as well be you. Text FREE to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. They are now going to be joined by Charlie, who's on the line. How are you, Charlie?
Hi, Gordon. How you doing, mate?
Good, right. Thank you, Charlie. What have you got for us then as a Celtic fan tonight?
I'm a Celtic fan, because I was just wondering if we're actually going to get round to Celtic at all, because a lot of chat's been about Rangers. So in order to talk about Celtic, I need to mention Rangers. So Rangers took their team up to Loch Lomond the other day for a bit of wild swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Brendan Rodgers did the same thing, Gordon, because the boy Balakwisha, he looked out his depth on 2 inch of grass, never mind 12 feet of water.
Charlie, you've rehearsed that to perfection, yeah. Haven't you?
The boy's out his depth, Gordon. Let's be honest. I watched him the other day. I've watched him a few times. I'll tell you maybe why he's got a game. He's got a good first touch. I'll say that a bit about he can bring a ball in. But as we all know, he's not went past anybody yet. He's never went past a player, and I don't know if it's through coaching or what Brendan says to him, but he's never went past anybody. But the thing about the Kilmarnock game the other night there, or the other day, he passed the ball off as if he was going to get in and then receive the ball at a wee triangle, and he just bounced off a Kelly player. Now, he can't get in a guy without a ball, never mind where a ball. It boys out his depth, and I'm sorry to say that as a Celtic fan.
Right, Charlie, hold on. Let's pause for breath, because I accept that this is the most knee-jerk, unforgiving corner of the footballing world. I get that. I also actually get that Balakwisha hasn't looked great in the first two games. Me, Hugh or Scott wouldn't pretend to
Charlie's done
disagree.
Me.
Charlie, he played 65 minutes, then 58 minutes. There is no way we can, right now, with any fairness, say that he is out of his depth. Surely it's far too early for that.
Can I ask you, boys, it's on the panel, are footballers, see when they look at somebody in training, can you tell right away, Gordon, if somebody's a footballer or somebody's not?
Scott?
I think first day in training at any club, when someone new comes in, somebody can take over your legs and you become a different player because you're a wee bit nervous, you want your teammates to think you're a good player. I think in terms of Balakwisha, you got to take into context, first game away at Ibrox, the team didn't play well. Second game away at Kilmarnock is a difficult game. Historically, they can make it really difficult for you. So I do think I get what you're saying. He's not took the bull by the horns and looked at he's really direct, but it's only two games in and two tough away games at the same time. So
I mean, Hugh,
to give him time.
How were Nicholas Coon's first 120 minutes in a Celtic jersey?
Awful. I'll summarise it by saying there's a reason why Balakwisha lasted as long as he did at Ibrox and at Rugby Park. He was taken off because he was contributing nothing. But when he goes to Firhill on Sunday, people will be looking at him and looking at him in the hope that he does more in a forward-going sense, because he has a fatal fascination for going backwards rather than forwards. And then the following week, when Hibs go to Celtic Park, 60,000 people, You know, Tunekte looks as if he's thriving on it all, and he will absolutely adore Celtic Park against Hibs. The chance to go through his tricks in front of 60,000 people. Balakwisha at the moment looks intimidated by it all, but that's not to say that, like Nicholas Kuhn, he later flourishes.
The fact checkers are going to tell me that Nicholas Kuhn scored in his second Celtic appearance, and I get it, but you know what I mean. Overall, yeah, it was considered a slow start. Actually, Charlie, Brendan Rodgers today, I'll play the answer for you and see what you make of it. He was asked about Balakwisha and the start that he's made. So these were the thoughts of the Celtic manager.
Yeah, that, to be fair, that's on me. The boy's a left-sided player. Bally's a really technically gifted player. He has great footballing qualities. His best side is on the left side, but he's played in other positions. He's played on the right-hand side. So he's played across that front line. I wanted to see him on that right side. But there's no doubt his best position is from the left. And even if Sebastian is to play there and he sits out a game or whatever else, we still need two really impactful wingers that can play. We thought Dizan was gone, so we needed to make sure we were covered. Obviously, we weren't able to get what we wanted on the right side. So I wanted to try him, and let's say we're in this process of finding out about players because they're just in the door. But there's no doubt he's much more comfortable on the left side.
I found that quite interesting, Scott, because I don't want to open old wounds about the transfer window. But I feel like most people came to the conclusion that whilst it was late, okay, Celtic got their two wingers at the end of the window. Didn't actually realise, unless I'm picking Brendan Rodgers up wrong, he didn't get the right-sided winger he wanted.
No.
And so those two are now going to have to fight it out with not only each other, but maybe Dizan Maeda, if Iheanacho establishes himself as the striker.
I understand why Brendan Rodgers has played him on the right. I think he's looking at Kuhn, who was left-sided, and looked to come in and link the play, so he maybe thought he would get the same from Balakwisha. And then he speaks about him playing the left side, so he naturally maybe want to go down the sides and put crosses in. But I can't argue with what Charlie and Hugh have said. He hasn't looked good in terms of taking the game to opposition, but it is early days for him. In terms of Maeda, was basically gone. I was quite surprised that he was just direct with that statement, because you always felt that it would be a player that Celtic can't sell. So they obviously must have been close to, or willing to let him
go.
Is that
the first time that Brendan Rodgers has said, Brendan Rodgers, thought Maeda was off?
Maybe in those simple terms, but he did address the Maeda situation at relative length last week.
Yeah.
I don't think that was meant to be the big
but
revelation.
It's an odd situation that you end up with two left-sided players, and Balakwisha is now having to be the victim of the lopsided nature of the squad. So
I think when you're signing either wingers, though, I think you would expect them to be able to play off both sides in this day and age. No question.
Tunekte says he can play off the other side, although he prefers the left. So maybe that's the easier one. If you've got a guy he's confident, he's in form, he's okay at taking people on, you can maybe move him to the right and let...
The problem will be if Balakwisha gets moved to the left and
then... To accommodate.
And then continues to run backwards.
Yeah. Charlie, can we not convince you to give him even a bit more time?
I did not know. I listened to the interview just there. Brendan Rodgers telling me the boy's a left-sided player, is playing him on the right. That makes sense, because he looked like a fish out of water. He really did. He's also playing Negrin a lot on the right, when the boy's clearly better coming off the left. So he's taking this opportunity to play people out of position. Tunekte, who's played on the left the other night, clearly two-footed. And yes, I'm imagining him going over to the right-hand side, because the boy's clearly two-footed.
But he did say he'd prefer to play on the left. Brendan Rodgers described him as being left-sided.
He may prefer over there, but you need to play with the tools you've got. And Celtic seem to have an overabundance of left-hand-sided players. So Tunekte will need to bite the bullet, and I'm sure he's capable of doing it, and he'll need to go on the right.
Interesting as well, though, that I forgot about Jota. See, when I said, so really, Balakwisha and Tunekte, their best side is the left side.
Yeah.
If Maeda's playing off A side, it's the left. Where's Jota's best?
On the left. He prefers the left, doesn't he?
Okay.
Transfer window, anyone?
Well, we've got a couple of months before we need to revisit that one. Anything else on your mind as a Celtic fan, Charlie? Obviously, last week the talk was about protests, but Brendan Rodgers today seemed very keen to just focus on the football and the fact that the team is winning domestic games?
Well, it's where we should be. I thought Brendan got a few things wrong. The board got a few things wrong. Let's face it, Imanta never made a mistake, never made anything. So let's all move on. Let's enjoy the fact that we did get some good signings. Well, let's not talk too early about the boy Ariacho, who's up because he's, let's face it, he's only kicked the ball once. And we'll see what happens. Koneke looks good. Ariacho looks good. And there's a lot of talk coming up this season, and then when the Celtic no replace this guy, no replace that guy. When in fact, we've not given people a chance to prove that they've been replaced or not.
You're the one that's written off. You've written off Balakwisha after a half an hour cameo here and there. Anyway, right, we'll move on, Charlie. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on the sort of perception around Celtic at the moment and the way the C word keeps getting used. Not that one.
I'm not going to tell the supporters how to feel, how to act. We want this club to be tight together. I see this noises around about Celtic in crisis and this sort of thing. It absolutely is not. You know, the team is coming together again. Domestically, if you look how we started the season, you know, as I said, we're not at our best, of course we're not, but everything that's happening now is all natural with the changes that we've had and players adapting and coming in late into our structure. But whilst that's happening, our duty and our idea is to make sure we still win games, and the players are absolutely doing that, and you see that togetherness.
I don't know of anyone who used the word crisis on television, radio, or newspapers. I think
you know what he means, though. There's this like perception that all is not well, and it's that sort of stuff. But
I think the media and the fans agreed with two words that Brendan Rodgers said: arithmetic. The squad was light, and that didn't improve during the window. And timing was all out during the window because they had two important Champions League playoffs and didn't get new players in before them.
It's also personal interpretation, isn't it? Because 7 days ago, Brendan Rodgers said there's a coward in the club who's briefing against him. So if people want to, maybe are using that as evidence of crisis, he can disagree with that. But, you know, again, I don't think that's a stretch for some people to see that maybe that side of things. Yes, on the field, is there a domestic footballing crisis? No.
But if Mark Wilson gets his hands on him and wins on Sunday, he'll have a crisis then.
We might hear from him a bit later on in the show. But anyway, for now, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. What a way to end the week. You come on here, you absolutely humiliate and torture Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans, and then you walk away with either the sign ball or the Beat the Pundit coin. It's been a good week. I think we served another defeat for Gordon Dale last night, did we?
I lost on Wednesday on a question about Miley Cyrus.
That was a low moment.
That's the state the game's in. I mean,
I was in the car with my son the other day, and it was the FIFA question.
But he'd have known that because FIFA's all.
He
the
said
rage.
McTominay was rated higher.
We're trying to forget about that mistake that we made. But extra incentive. It is 2-2 for the week. Pundits 2, listeners 2. It's the chance to clinch it this evening. So 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here at 0141 951 1025 to join in. We've done quite a bit on Russell Martin and Rangers. You can keep going on that. We have also covered Celtic and heard from Brendan Rodgers on Balakwisha. Brendan Rodgers, though, had some very interesting things to say about Russell Martin, and we'll hear them before we go. League Cup games to look forward to. It's all happening, so let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Two wins for the pundits this week, two wins for the listeners. Don't let the pressure get to you now.
No, not at all.
You've had a rough week as well. Will we tell the nation about the drama on Wednesday night? I'm sure you all listen religiously every night, and you know that Hugh Keevans, who generally does a Friday, came in and did Wednesday's show as well. I was just halfway along Dumbarton Road. I had barely left. The phone was going. The group chat was popping off. Hugh Keevans lost the Nokia.
I did. And I have Alec Ray to thank, because when I realised I had lost the Nokia...
Oh, it's back.
My good friend turned the car around and we came back here to find it. But
now, so you had just left it here?
No. Now I have to embarrass myself and come clean. It slipped out my pocket and it was on the passenger seat in Alex's car.
Oh, you're kidding on. So you turned and came back here for it, but it was in the car the full time?
Come off it. I was lucky because Alec was reading his phone, having a proper phone. He was reading about the Rangers fans meeting on Wednesday night, and he was telling me all about it, and he didn't see me lift the Nokia off the seat. We turned the car around, Scott, under false pretenses. The phone was there all the time.
Well, he'll know about it now if he's listening. But anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit tonight and see if we can crown a winner for the week. I'd like it to go to the listeners, I have to say, but we'll see what Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen have got up their sleeve. It's a team effort as well. Kevin and Paul on the line. How are you, Kevin and Paul?
Yeah, it was good. Not bad. Well, how are you, Paul?
I'm good, thank you for asking. Have either of you played Beat the Pundit before?
No, Beat the Pundit. Right, okay. Call her, though.
Right, okay, so you're just chancing your arm at the quizzing, that's fine. Right, it's not heads. Blue, it will be Hugh Keevans. Red, it will be Scott Allen. And it is going to be blue for Hugh.
Oh.
He's in the hot seat again.
Oh. I had a night out last night, so.
Oh.
Good.
Details.
Listen, I'm running out of time. I can't afford to turn down a night.
Boxing?
I was at the boxing, yeah. Yeah, with Matty McHale, who's the boxer of the year for the St Andrews Sporting Club, and whose ring walk is Elvis Presley.
That's up your street.
Oh, we discussed Elvis at length.
Red wine consumed responsibly?
Responsibly, yes, as ever.
Enough to impact your Beat the Pundit performance?
Enough to be a 25-1 shot now.
We'll see how it goes. What we'll do here, guys, is give Hugh something else to listen to. You have 30 seconds to answer. Give me as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Make it easy for me, though. Nominate a spokesman and just that person give me the answer, okay?
I'll be the spokesman.
Great. I don't know which one you are, but it sounds good to me.
That's Kevin.
Right, Kevin. Your 30 seconds starts now. Which Scottish Premiership team's nicknamed after an animal?
Go on, old bat.
Which club won the top flight the year Take That were formed, 1990?
Celtic.
Which Premiership stadium's on McLeod Street? Which Celtic manager won the last Old Firm Cup final? Who won the League Cup more recently, Aberdeen or Motherwell?
Aberdeen.
Motherwell.
Okay. Murder? Honestly, right, you two couldn't hear that, could you?
No.
Did you hear my last advice to Kevin and Paul?
No.
I just heard murder the other
day. It was one of you. Just one of you give me the answer, and Kevin said I'll do it. They were both shouting out different things. So whatever came through first, we were taking. So
I
anyway,
feel a protest coming on if I lose.
I wouldn't worry about that. Are you ready?
Okay.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which Scottish Premiership team is nicknamed after an animal?
Pass.
Which club won the top flight the year Take That were formed, 1990?
Celtic.
Which Premiership stadium is on McLeod Street?
Hearts.
Which Celtic manager won the last Old Firm Cup final?
Brendan Rodgers.
Who's won the League Cup more recently, Aberdeen or Motherwell?
Aberdeen.
David Gray started his senior playing career at which club?
Oh, Man United.
Okay.
We were very poor.
What happened? Where did the discipline go? You were both just shouting answers at me.
Sorry, mate.
You get excited, didn't you? You get excited. Let's go through them and find out. None of you, I thought this probably was quite tough just off the bat under pressure. The Scottish Premiership team nicknamed after an animal.
I immediately thought staggies, but then...
Livingston, lions.
Oh, the Libby lions. Yeah.
Well, that actually was tough, quite one. Tough. I was just waiting on someone saying Rangers and then the debate about whether a teddy bear is or is not an animal. I'm so glad no one gave us that debate. They always like to be a bit clever, don't they, in here, and tie it in with maybe some popular culture. Take That have announced a new tour. Will I stick you down for a couple of tickets? No,
I like Gary Barlow.
Good, there you go. I'll stick you down. So they were formed in 1990. Who won the top flight that year? You both said Celtic. It was Rangers.
Oh,
of course. 90s, the early 90s.
Really said oh, rise at that,
Hugh. Yeah.
The Premiership Stadium, which is on McLeod Street. Again, I thought this was quite tricky, except I was there 2 days ago. It is Hearts, Tynecastle. Well done, Hugh Keevans. I'm afraid Kevin and Paul didn't get it, so it's 1-0 to Hugh. The Celtic manager who won the last Old Firm Cup final was Brendan Rodgers. It was just last season, Kevin and Paul. Come on. I heard Gordon Strachan in amongst it with them. Who's won the League Cup more recently, Aberdeen or Motherwell? Sadly, it is not even close, 2014 to 1951. So it is indeed Aberdeen. You both got it, which means 3-1 to Hugh Keevans. But that was the end of the road for Kevin and Paul. And David Gray started his senior playing career at Man United. A 4-1 win for Hugh Keevans. It would have been 6 if he wasn't on the red wine last night. Kevin and Paul, hang your heads in shame.
In fairness, Gordon, we were on the red wine as well, but probably a different type, and at least we're going to get a duck egg.
Please drink responsibly, as I always say. What are you thinking then as Celtic fans this weekend? What, like where are you at with sort of everything at the moment and the way the club is and how the fans feel?
To be honest, the way the fans feel, I think it's kind of split. I think it's kind of split with some of it, but personally, I understand the fans have got frustration, which I totally agree with. We don't have the best transfer window in certain aspects, but it's time to just put that under the bridge and get to January and see how the club move on and just see where we go. I agree with one of the callers earlier on about, I'll call him Michel Ange, but he is looking to pass backwards, and it might be just the fact he's got to grow into the Celtic jersey and hopefully turns up. But I think we're looking in a good place. I think the Scottish League's too easy for us. I know Hearts are going to probably make a title challenge, but we'll find it if that's the case. Aberdeen were doing it last year, and I'm pretty sure I called about this time last year, and that didn't prove to be so.
You surely batter Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle on Sunday though.
Oh, Mark Wilson and Gordon Yale will be in the stands supporting Celtic, I heard last night. So we'll do it in 5-1.
Yeah, you'd have to think so. Thank you, Kevin and Paul. Next up on the line, we've got Mark Wilson, the Partick Thistle manager.
At least you've got it done for a goal.
How was that for a ringing endorsement and support from the public who used to adore you on these phone lines?
Magnificent. I've still got a place in their heart. I see, you know, you're quickly forgotten about in this game, Gordon, as I can hear.
Unbelievable. In all seriousness, great to speak to you again. We're missing you greatly, but it's because you're doing good things into the quarterfinals, trying, and you've got the sort of biggest tie of all. How are you feeling about it?
Excited, obviously. You know, when you come back into coaching, you obviously want to, you know, start well and get a few wins under the belt. We've been sailing along nicely for the season so far, and then it just kind of culminates in the best tie we could have got at Fir Hill against Celtic. So, of course, incredibly difficult. Odds are stacked heavily against us, but and be at the competition.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, when you to make it semi-serious for a minute, it's a weird tone for me when we used to just joke all the time any time you were in here, but see, for you, how have you sort of paused to sort of reflect on how nice an opportunity this is, or how much, you know, this is a big deal for you, being sitting in here with us a couple of months ago and maybe not really having first team football management on your radar, to not only managing but managing a big club at a big stage in the competition, and of course against the team that you played for?
That's a big opportunity for myself, but mainly for the players, because you know, it's the players that are trying to progress themselves, and games like this don't come along too often. In terms of pausing and reflecting, if I'm honest, not really, Gordon, because it's been that, you know what it's like, you know, week to week, it's been that quick, and you get little time to think. So, you know, maybe once we get a wee break, perhaps around about Christmas time, I can reflect fondly upon it, but no doubt about it, I'm well aware of how fortunate I've been to come into a club the size of Partick Thistle, go off to a good start, and then draw Celtic in the cup competition. And of course, all eyes will be on us, and hopefully we can give a good account of ourselves.
I watched your game last Friday at Fir Hill against Airdrie. Thought second half, you really dominated the game, and Dan O'Reilly and Alex Samuel, good goals, came back, won 2-1. So you need to start on Sunday, Mark, like you played the second half, not the first.
Aye, certainly, Hugh. I think last week we were all spooked and shocked by the goal so early on into the game. And it took us a wee bit of time to get our... You know, we steadied ourselves and we believed in what we've been doing all season rather than just punting the ball forward and trying to... Or hoping something would come off. We kind of stuck to the process and it did come off. And I was pleased at that, but... Last week... And made a big difference, and that's what I'm really pleased about our squad. It's, you know, all about it together. Incredibly frustrating when you're on the bench, and I know we joke about it. I have been there a lot sitting on the bench and looking on, and you're, you know, want to be a part of it. So for those guys to sit there, and when the time was needed to come on and, you know, put their shoulder to the wheel and get the job done is great and great for spirit, and it's going to be the same again on Sunday. You're right, we have to start well because. You can't let a team like Celtic build up a head of steam, but we're going to need everybody because it's certainly going to zap the legs, the amount of ball they're going to have.
With respect, at Brechin and at Airdrie, you'll never have come up against opponents like this. It's a managerial high for you to begin with, Mark.
It certainly is. I was saying this today, I think any coaches or young coaches coming into the game, you always want to pit yourself against the best, and I'm quite fortunate in this championship just now that there's a lot of experienced coaches, either head coaches, managers, or even assistants that in the first 5 or 6 weeks I've come up against in the Premier Force Cup as well in the opening stages, one or two. But, you know, there's no doubt Brendan Rodgers is the top one, and his coaching team, and John Kennedy and the rest who have been there and done it. To go against them is certainly exciting from my perspective. And it's the biggest challenge. And it's obviously been challenging for us this week when we're doing an analysis, when, you know, you see the other teams in the league and you try to pick holes in them. And, of course, in this league that we're in has its chinks in it. But when you're trying to do it against Celtic, it's a different kettle of fish. So that's what I'm looking forward to, the challenge on Sunday.
And I was interested, Mark, in something you and I discussed earlier this week that I'm not sure people outside of Partick Thistle will maybe realise, because... In Scottish football terms, they're a, you know, a relatively big club, and we see them in the top flight not so long ago, and, you know, certainly not languishing down in the lower reaches of the SPFL. But you were saying that genuinely getting drawn against Celtic has essentially prevented redundancies behind the scenes at the club. You know, that's the difference that the money can make at this level.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's critical staff members, you know, not the football side, but the staff members are in the football club. And, no, I think people are rich, you know, behind the scenes, and everybody's guaranteed. And all they see is the guys in the picture, the coach. But an incredible amount of work goes into, you know, putting a football club together, and when they draw are under threat, then it affects the full playing staff in the full club. So to firstly get through was huge, because obviously that brings prize money. And you're just hoping for a big draw. And, you know, we're incredibly fortunate. To get Celtic, and you know, I'm sitting here at McDermott Park right now, actually. At the time that they restricted the attendance of Celtic and Rangers, and you know, that was St Johnson's decision at the time. But you've seen the empty seats and the lack of revenue it brought. And when the tie came up, we had a call to make, and the club put out to the fans to vote, and I'm glad the fans voted the way they did. You know, and we've made compromises and gave Celtic fans more than they would usually get, but it's to sell at the stadium, and that all those fine are important to the club.
Just very quickly before we let you go then, a couple of quick points. How many times a week does Gordon Dale call you and give you advice that you don't really want or need?
No, he's been quiet.
No.
By the way, he must be a busy man nowadays. What's he doing when he's off air? So you must be tied up in other ways.
I don't feel like I can. I'm absolutely not answering that question. I wish you hadn't worded it that way. And secondly, just so that you know that we haven't totally forgotten about the real way that things are supposed to work in this show, you can't see the live stream because you're at McDermott Park, but for everyone watching, the picture that they've put up to signify that you're on the show is that famous old one with your shiny shirt and sports scene all those years ago.
Turquoise.
Mate, I don't know what prompted me to buy that shirt, but it's never left me. It's like a piece of tinfoil.
It's fantastic. Listen, really, enjoy really McDermott fun. Park. It's one way to spend a Friday night. I think you know the temperature in this show. We can only wish you all the best on Sunday up to a certain level before we get complaints. But enjoy it, and we'll speak to you soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot. Catch you
later. Good man, Mark Wilson, Partick Thistle manager, as he's now referred to, formerly, of course.
How do you like the glamour of the cup? Tomorrow, Celtic will train at the £8 million Lennox Town complex, and Partick Thistle will train at Petershill Juniors in Springbok.
Nothing wrong with that. Great timing, this. Genuinely didn't plan this. Mark, unprompted, brought up the stuff about the allocation and the tickets for the game, and Dave is on, who's a Partick Thistle fan, who wants to talk about just that. On you go, Dave.
The Maryhill Mourinho, good afternoon, good evening, gentlemen. But the Maryhill Mourinho has just stole my thunder.
Never. He's just set you up perfectly.
Terrible. Because I was on to say as well how I was so happy for the board, because they gave the fans the concession of it. They gave them the decision. They said that if we didn't back the team, then we could effectively, if we gave Celtic two stands, we could effectively sell out the game. But if we gave Celtic one stand and we didn't sell our allocation, we could effectively lose 30% of the intake for us. This game's massive. It's a win-win for Thistle, because if we win, it'd be dreamland. But even if we don't win, the money we're going to get could actually push us in January to the promotion that we desire. You know, just that extra cash that we need could just be the difference from a couple of loan players coming in January when the rest of the Championship teams are starting to struggle. So it's a win-win.
Yeah,
but it was great to hear. Sorry, it was great to hear from Mark there.
Yeah, but you'd also have heard, Dave, that it saved jobs at Firhill, and that's an important thing in this day and age. So I often think that clubs who restrict the Old Firm's ticket allocation are cutting their noses off despite their faces.
I think we need to take it case by case, though, because that's the thing, it can work. Take St Mirren. Keith Lasley can give us a call right now, and it has worked. Livy can't afford to do it, so just give them the tickets, take the money, and that's what Thistle are doing.
Yep, and they've taken the right decision. I think Celtic get 5,900 tickets, if I remember correctly. So it'll be a full house, it'll be a terrific occasion, and everyone's a winner. People who might have lost jobs at Firhill stay and work. The club gets a kitty, as Dave said, that might be later used to improve the squad. So everyone's a winner.
Thank you very much to Dave. Enjoy the weekend, Dave. Do you think you can cause a shock very quickly? Give us a score prediction.
The unfortunate thing for me is that Rangers are playing Hibs on Saturday. There's always a shock in the cup, and I think Rangers might beat Hibs, and that'll be a shock. And then we've not got a chance, then, haven't we?
Thank you very much to Dave. We'll be back with more of your calls when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025. I'd love to hear from you, Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans, because we're not too far away from kick-off there, so it'd be nice to get all your thoughts and see how you're feeling ahead of that one. James and Kirkintilloch sent your full-time teaser in tonight. It's got quite a lot of answers, but you'll recognise the format. Hopefully we can fly through them. Celtic last played Partick Thistle in the cup. It was the 18th of January 2020. Okay, can you name Celtic's starting 11? So 2020 it was, 5 years ago. Who would Celtic's starting 11 have been?
Scott Bain.
It wasn't
Joe Hart.
It wasn't him either. No, 5 years ago.
Craig Gordon.
The other one. Who came back?
Who came back?
Oh my goodness. But any others? Forget the goalkeeper.
Jack Henry. Doohan.
Who? No.
Jack Henry.
No. My word, we've got 11 names to get here. Who are like the nailed on players from 5 years ago? Let's start with the easy ones.
Scott Brown.
Yes, okay, good.
Callum McGregor.
Yes.
James Forrest.
No.
Scott Sinclair.
No. So you're probably just after. So without the sort of history lesson, January 2020, so we're going just before COVID, basically, is a way to think of that.
Lee Griffiths.
Yeah.
Yes.
Neil Beaton.
Yes. Okay, we'll get the rest. We're looking for Celtic starting 11. Last time they faced Partick Thistle, January 2020. Lewis is on. How are you, Lewis?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Hello, panel. Hi. How are we all doing?
Right, Lewis, I'm being desperate to get the Hibs perspective here. How does this... Yeah. Do you feel like favourites in some sort of way because there's so much noise around Rangers, or is that taking it too far? How do you approach this game this weekend?
I'd probably say that's, I don't know, I mean, we're in a good place, obviously, but Rangers away is never a good fixture, to be honest, even despite what's been going on. I know there's a lot of noise about what's happening at Rangers at the moment, and it almost feels a little bit too good a situation for us, because we're in such a good place, I would say, and Rangers are probably as worse as it could be. But I mean, I know that a lot of noise about, you know, Rangers this, Rangers that, and I wondered, now that, you know, Scott's on the show, I wondered if, you know, we could talk about Hibs a little bit. I mean, I was saying to a producer that this is probably the strongest Hibs squad I've seen probably since I was born, you know, since I've been a Hibs fan. I mean, I think it's actually a real shame that we went out of Europe, because I thought we played really well, and also we've probably had enough depth to play on a Thursday and a Sunday. So actually it was quite gutting, because I think we have such a strong squad. But I would say that, yeah, I think we have to do similar to what Hearts did last weekend and kind of almost go for it. I mean, it's rare to see that a team actually goes and presses the Old Firm away from home. Usually, you know, you sit back and you're in your banks and try and counter, which I guess might work slightly better for us because we've got Boyle and Cleage and Bowie and things like that. But I don't know, I kind of think we kind of got to go for it. You know, the crowd starts to turn on them, you know, however many there will be. But yeah, I just think Hibs are in a really good place. I mean, we've not necessarily had the results to back that up, but
Have you got a subconscious fear, Lewis, of the law of averages? Rangers have to win sometime.
Pretty much. You've summed it up pretty well there, Hugh. I mean, it's just that, you know, Ibrox is never an easy place to go. Well, maybe others would disagree with that recently, but typically it's not a good place to go. And of all the teams we could have drawn, it's probably not the best. But there's probably no better time to play Rangers, is probably what I would say.
Mm. What is the Hibs perspective, do you think, Scott? You know the club quite well. You know a lot of the players, the manager. The notion of turning the crowd against Rangers is something we hear all the time, but it can't ever have been more relevant or possible than it is now.
Yeah, I think that would be I think that kind of speaks for itself. I think I heard Dylan on last night speaking about it as well. It is one of the things, no matter what club you're at, that you speak about when you do go to Ibrox. I think in terms of, as Lewis says about the squad, I think in terms of depth, they've got players who can come on and affect the game. I think looking at the games away, Midtjylland, Partizan Belgrade, Legia Warsaw, there's some really good performances in there which you could kind of compare it to. So I feel, as much as teams in Scotland before you have went and sat back, Hibs were aggressive in terms of how they press, so I would expect the same tomorrow. I think there would be belief from the games that they can go and make a real statement tomorrow. So I think naturally that's why people think that Hibs have a high chance of winning the tie tomorrow. Rangers, on the other hand, Hibs will want to try and make sure that they make the most of that negative feeling around the club at this moment. So if Hibs get it right and Rangers aren't quite on it, then I would genuinely expect Hibs to win. I think they carry that threat as well going forward.
Lewis, in this utterly bizarre season for Rangers, Alloa Athletic scored twice at Ibrox in the last round.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think we've definitely got enough firepower to score a couple of goals. It's just we've also been shipping quite a few.
I think Hanley comes in tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, what, a right centre half and O'Hora drops out? Or I mean, to be honest, I thought Iredale was quite poor against Dundee United. I don't know if that, you know, you possibly bring Obita back in. He's a little bit more defensive.
Yeah, I would feel like he'd done it. He went with Obita, didn't he, in the European game. So I would expect Obita probably come in for Cadden. And then that experience of Hanley. Obviously, good performance.
Does
against
Hanley have
for Scotland
to replace Bashiri? Or can he go as the left side? Because I think, as the caller says, I feel like O'Hara's maybe the one that's maybe had a bit, what's the phrase? I don't think he's been terrible or anything, but maybe not been quite as convincing.
Yeah, but I think in terms of Grant Hanley, would you really want him isolated in that area?
No, that's what I mean. So what do you do then? Because
I think it would have to be Bashiri if it was anybody. But do you
in a way at that stage?
I know it's just the fact that they ultimately, Hibs have had a good start to the season, but they have lost some goals. It's been disappointment of late, so it will be interesting to see how the teams match up.
Like I said, Hugh, there can't have ever been a more sort of true representation of this notion, because sometimes it's a pie in the sky thing. It's an idea of, well, hopefully we can turn the crowd, and it might take that. We can't be more obvious than they're outside the front door. Listen to them;
they're already turned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're, you know, and once the game starts, Number one, how many people will be inside the ground? Number two, will they start the Rangers fans abusing Russell Martin before the game's even begun? They know that Andrew Kavanagh is inside the stadium. There will be chanting.
That's starting at 4:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, they will be directing their chants towards Andrew Kavanagh, not in an abusive way, but to let him know, make it abundantly clear, they think the club is in a state, and let Andrew Kavanagh know how they think the club can be turned around. So it's a bizarre occasion. The Hibs fans will turn up and hope that they can take advantage of all of that. I think we always come back to Raskan. He's back in the squad. I think he'll start the match. I think he's only there for one specific reason, because Russell Martin thinks with him, although I'm not particularly fond of him, with him, I've got a better chance than without him.
You got high hopes for your firepower that you mentioned, Lewis. Obviously, Kieran Bowie's been the headline grabber, if you like. Is this the type of occasion you think he can go and flourish?
I have to say, I'll be surprised if we still have him in January or towards the start of next season, because I think he's been brilliant. I do think he will hopefully kick on and keep going, and hopefully we sell him for a good fee, because I'm sure Celtic will put in a bid which is far below what is expected, and he'll go down south or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I like the partnership he's building with Boyle, but I also have, you know, there's something about Cleage that is starting to. Yeah. I do think.
And not just his transfer fee, Lewis.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, when whenever he comes on, he makes quite a big difference. And I think Boyle, I know he's, you know, he's I love him, but there will come a point where he starts to decline slightly and he can play slightly less. And I'm guessing the reason that they've signed the likes of Bowie and Cleage is that, you know, they will be the pair going forward. But I would like to see Cleage get a bit more of a chance. I mean, he's played really well every time he's come on. So, I mean, but it's difficult. You can't exactly drop Boyle, can you? So,
could it be interesting?
I think we've definitely got enough. I mean, Raskan coming back is a bit frustrating, to be honest, because he's, in my opinion, Rangers definitely their best midfielder. But I do hope another player as well, Chaiwa. I think he's really quite really good. I think he's a real find. So I'm hoping, he wasn't in the squad last weekend, I'm not entirely sure why, but I really hope he can be in the midfield tomorrow, because if we can control that, I think we'll have a lot of chances. Mm. Yeah, high hopes, but it's not an easy fixture.
Great call, Lewis. Great call. Thank you for taking the time. That was Lewis in Edinburgh looking at it from the Hibs perspective. Tomorrow, some breaking news tonight, Hugh. The beauty of live radio is you get that. And it's come in the form of Celtic's accounts.
Ah, now I understand why it's 7:30 on a Friday night.
I'm going to have to extend the show here, because this is, I think people are interested generally, but this year, of all years, is interesting, because it's all been about how much money you got, why you're not spending it, how much have you spent, and so on. As you say, we started the show being cynical. We can end it being cynical. It's a bit later in the day than we would have liked to have 7 on a Friday night. Or, well, I think it was maybe released earlier on.
Remember the famous statement, 8:42, to tell everyone why the transfer window was rigged against them.
I've probably taken me too long to notice this. But anyway, the highlights, if you like. So the revenue increased. Last year it was 124 million. This year, 143. So clearly gone up by quite some distance. The other big growths would be the gain on sale of player registrations. 6 million last year, 31 this year. So the profit before tax last year, 17 million. This year, 45. That was the before tax profit, I should say. So after tax, last year 13 million, this year 33. So a massive increase in profit. However, the year end cash, so the money that's sitting there, if you like, last year 77.2, this year 77.3. So not much more cash in the bank, but massive amounts more in profit, etc. A statement from Peter Lowell, who we don't hear very often this year, you know, the chairman's statement talking about all these things. There's a real sort of, what would be the right phrase be, a real detailed explanation of how the board clearly feel that money has been spent and players have been brought in, and they talk about the money that has gone out the way, due to the during the year we invested heavily First team labour costs were the highest in the history of the club. We doubled the prior year spend in player acquisitions. It's the highest single season investment in the club's history, including twice breaking the club's transfer record. As a result, the carrying value of the squad is the highest it's been in the history of the club. It feels like that bit is very much a defence against all the stuff that's been said.
Yep.
And interestingly, there is an acknowledgement, there is an apology. It's brief. It says, I think this bit's from Michael Nicholson, correct me if I'm wrong, sorry. Our objective each year is to compete in the Champions League. Unfortunately, this season we suffered a loss on penalties in the tie against Kaira Almaty, which resulted in Europa League instead. As a board, we take responsibility for the failure to achieve the key objective and commit to improve going forward. There ends the apology.
If they take the blame, does that mean that they regret not buying players before those matches had to be played? Because there's only one way the board can take the blame, and that was not investing at the right time. First of all, let it be said, the accounts show that Celtic is by far the best run football club in Scotland and one of the best run football clubs in Great Britain, or I would suggest anywhere in Europe. As a business, 10 out of 10. But the apology from the chief executive is the point that would be seized upon by the supporters. If you had spent money at the right time, you wouldn't have to apologise for not being in the Champions League. And to minimise it by saying we lost on penalties, it goes way beyond the losing on penalties. You are playing a team ranked 311th in the world. And Celtic, the players who represented the club in Glasgow and in Kazakhstan, should have had enough to win that tie. They had two dreadful performances. However, they can also say, and the fans will say, you should have invested at the right time and you didn't.
Okay, that's the accountancy expert Hugh Keevans. That's about as much as we can dig into them for now. But if you want to share your thoughts, Celtic fans, you can. Much easier arithmetic to be done here. Let's play this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
It's now your chance to win cash with McNair's by simply guessing the weekend's results on our Pundit Predictor. Kyle only managed 2 out of 3 last week, which means another £100 goes into the pot. It's now £500 just for predicting the outcome of 3 games. It's that simple, he says. So simple that no one's done it yet. So all you have to do is guess the results after 90 minutes. That's the key bit here. After 90 minutes in these 3 League Cup quarterfinals. Home win, draw, or away win, you tell us. Aberdeen v Motherwell, Rangers v Hibs, Partick Thistle v Celtic. Call us right now for the chance to win £500 with McNair's. 0141 951 1025. Over 18s only. We'll pick a caller at random. Lines close at the end of this break.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Oh, what an exciting end to the show on a Friday night. We've got Kilmarnock against St Mirren in the first of the League Cup quarter-finals. We've got St Johnston against Dunfermline in the Championship, and we've got the Pundit Predictor with McNair's. If you are still calling, thank you very much, but you are free to hang up. The lines are now closed. We've got our random caller. You can try again next week, but thank you so much for getting in touch. Now, all we want you to do is predict the outcomes of 3 of the weekend's games, the results for your chance to win £500. And those games are Aberdeen Motherwell, Rangers Hibs and Partick Thistle Celtic. Now, because it's the Cup, we're looking for the outcome at the end of the 90 minutes. So let's go to our random caller who is on the line. It's Connor in Hamilton. How are you, Connor?
Yeah, not too bad. Gordon, yourself, hi, panel.
Hi.
How would you rate yourself generally as a tipster?
I've had a few outcomes, but sometimes it's just a hit and a miss, isn't it?
Which is a few more than Hugh Keevans has ever had. So you seem suitably qualified for me, Connor. So I'll go through them one by one. Very simple. Firstly, Aberdeen Motherwell after 90 minutes will be
Motherwell win.
Okay, away win. Rangers v Hibs after 90 minutes
It'll be a Hibs win.
Away win again. And Thistle against Celtic after 90 minutes
It's got to be my team, Celtic.
So
wow, three away wins. Yeah. I know we're playing the pundit predictor and not the bookmakers here, but I wonder what the odds you would get. Anyway, Connor, we thank you very much out of curiosity.
Motherwell, I agree with Connor. Mm-hmm. Rangers and Celtic.
Okay, well, thank you very much to Connor. We'll find out on Monday, Connor, if you win the 500. And if not, it rolls over again next week and we add £100 to the pot, thanks to McNair. So that was Connor in Hamilton, who's given us his predictions. I like this because the money's seriously ramping up.
Yeah,
it's £600 for essentially, I mean, if it goes to, well, it's 500 just now, you could be looking at £500 for just picking three favourites. I think Connor's gone for three aways, so quite a bold stance, but we will see how that one plays out. Good championship game tonight, St Johnstone against Dundee. Just a couple of minutes in, St Johnstone have started the season brilliantly and are really on the front foot in the early stages. I was asking for you Killian St Mirren fans earlier. You were probably too distracted heading to the game. You'll certainly be too distracted now. So let's keep an eye on the early stages of that one. Max Stryek in goal. It's just the one change for Killy from the team which came so close against Celtic last week. Out dropped Rory McKenzie. In comes Greg Kilty. So Stryek in goal. Stanger, Mayo and Dees at the back. You might have heard Mayo and Dees played. They had a wee incident at the end of the game. Handball. Don't know if you've heard about it. Brown, Watson, Polworth, Kilty and Thompson across the middle. With that, must be one of the biggest, most physical front twos going about anywhere. It is Daniels and Dakers up front for Kelly. For St Mirren in goal, Shamal George stays in. King, Gogic, Freckleton. The wing-backs are Richardson and Declan John. Midfield three, a really good midfield three. Mark O'Hara, Keanu Backus and Killian Phillips. And as Jonah Ayunga and Mikael Mandron up top. Kelly got plaudits for how close they came against Celtic. Yeah. How do you see tonight going?
Well, I like St Mirren. That might actually be an extra time job. And St Mirren to win an extra time.
A late Friday night, Scott Allen.
Really hard one to call. I'm with you. I think St Mirren, obviously very consistent over the last couple of years. Good result against Falkirk last week. Kilmarnock obviously showed some grit in that performance against Celtic. So for me, I can't quite call it. I think it could go either way, to be honest.
The thing I like about this stage of the League Cup, you know, it doesn't take loads of games out after the group stages to get to Hampden. Just what an opportunity for both of these. They'll both absolutely fancy that. You know it's a tough draw. They'll both think it's a tough draw. There's only so much you can get. Thistle are the only championship team left. And they, you just become so close to, like we said, firstly getting to Hampden, which had maybe Stephen Robinson's done it a few times in charge of Motherwell. I think he'd want to do it a bit more with St Mirren. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think that would show a bit of evolution in terms of obviously the three consistent top six finishes and then to add a semi-final. And if they were to come through that, get to a final, I think it would be a massive plus in terms of Stephen Robinson and where he's wanting to take this St Mirren side. But listen, they'll need to get past Kilmarnock. It'll be a difficult game, but as I say, I think go either way.
It's kind of the become almost expected of St Mirren here. Look, it's not easy to reach semi-finals, but as Scott says, their league form in recent seasons, the way that on their day they can be such a tough opponent for anyone, they'll be looking to start trying to get into those latter stages.
I'd love to see them go all the way. I remember Danny Lennon taking St Mirren to the League Cup final, Hearts. It was a sensational day, terrific game. And the celebrations in Paisley were lavish. I hope Stephen Robinson will forgive me, but I'm tipping St Mirren to get to the semi-finals.
Okay, not too much doing in the early stages. I think Kelly had their first shot on goal. And St Mirren have tried to respond and launched an attack of their own, but nothing really doing inside the opening 6 minutes. St Johnstone against Dunfermline, it's actually a miracle. St Johnstone haven't taken the lead inside the first 5 minutes. There were a couple of chances already.
Yeah, started really well. Yeah, I think Dunfermline there trying to play out for the back. Kyle Benedictus wasn't expecting it, gets caught, robbed at the edge of his box, and St Johnstone didn't capitalise. But they've been playing some fantastic football, made some good signings, and listen, I can't really see past St Johnstone at this stage.
And of course, Mark Wilson is there watching. We heard from him earlier. Yeah. He's there doing a bit of a scouting mission. You forget, Hugh, just how all-consuming it is, because that guy used to be, of any male adult I know, he went to bed earlier than anyone I know. Yeah. He's a Gogglebox in bed guy on a Friday night, if he even makes the second half of it. And there he is up in Perth, won't be back until later, all for the price of being a football manager.
He also knows that St Johnstone are the only team to have beaten Partick Thistle this season.
Oh.
And they really did beat them 5-1, so he's not going to let that happen again.
They are all over Dunfermline in the opening stages. Kyle Benedictus has gone sliding in on Jason Holt. They both disagree on whether it should have been a penalty.
Referee, them booked.
Matthew McDermott, who maybe was involved in VAR controversy last weekend, he says nothing doing, and of course there is no VAR here.
No. What do you think, Scott?
Let me see on the second replay. Again, just robbed of the ball, edge of the box.
I think he's playing for down, it. Yeah, he's going down easily.
Bit rash from Benedictus.
I was going to say, I'd be hoping my centre half didn't slide like that in the box and not touch the ball
as well.
But definitely, he played for it, and the Matthew McDermott, I believe, got it right.
Okay, let's have a look at your full time teaser. We've not actually made much headway on this. We've had other things to take our mind off it. James and Kirkintilloch said, "Can you name the last Celtic starting 11 against Partick Thistle?" It was January 2020. You've already got a couple of them. You've got Near Beaton, Scott Brown, Callum McGregor and Lee Griffiths.
Tommy Rogic.
Yep.
Fraser Forster.
Yes.
Greg Taylor.
Yes. Three to get. Well, you're needing some inspiration already. So what positions do you think you're missing then?
Centre back.
Yep. Good place to start. Celtic centre backs around that time were, I can tell you, Beaton played in there that night. Along with
Christopher Ayer.
Ooh, no.
Simonovic.
Nope. What if you had the first name right there?
Christopher.
Yes.
Christopher.
One scored a goal that may or may not have been offside at Hampden caused about 10 weeks of phone calls on this show. Christopher Julian. Okay, what about somebody who has been playing in the Champions League this midweek?
Timo Weah?
Nope.
Frimpong.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. Jeremy Frimpong, well done.
You looked at me there as if I was miles off at Gordon.
I'm sorry. And last one, tough one, midfielder. So Scott Brown, Callum McGregor, and, oh, you've got two to get actually. Who's the other striker alongside Griffiths?
Edward.
Yep. So the midfielder alongside Brown, McGregor would be
Ryan Christie?
No.
Stuart Armstrong?
Nope, not Scottish. He actually changed his footballing allegiance, I'm sure, this guy. I'm sure he represented France at youth level, then Cameroon. Hope I've got that right. Or it's
Ncham.
Yeah, Olivier Ncham. Okay, thank you to Hugh Evans and to Scott Allen. The biggest thanks, as always, I say it every night because we mean it every night, it does go to you. Thank you for all of your calls and your tweets and your messages. For those of you who don't get in touch but sit and listen and take in the show, we appreciate that as well. And make sure you catch up with the show if you need to do so, wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, the live stream still going strong. Make sure you've subscribed to that YouTube channel, please, if you can. And we will be back 2 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have one team in the hat for the semis already. Who will follow them? We'll find out soon. The GBX is up next.